Welcome to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name's Stephen Roach. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for dairy cattle health and welfare. I did my master's and PhD trying to understand how farmers, their staff, and their advisors can work together as a team to improve. I'm also part of a team working with the Dairy Farmers of Canada to help showcase Canadian dairy farming stories, industry updates, and the latest science, advice, and perspectives on high-priority topics that relate to ProAction. You'll find this channel features a number of different series, from environmental sustainability to animal care to biosecurity and beyond. This podcast series features conversations with farmers, veterinarians, and other farm advisors, researchers, and many other industry stakeholders. Our goal is ultimately to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. Dairy farmers have always been regarded as stewards of our natural resources because effective environmental practices contribute to the continued long-term success for the farms. Careful management of soil, water, pastures, wetlands, and woodlands on farms will help to ensure that future generations are able to farm successfully. I sat down with Janet Harrop from Harcroft Acres, a dairy farm located in Fergus, Ontario. We chatted through her perspectives on the environment module of ProAction and how she's used her environmental farm plan to guide action on the farm. So, let's jump in. Well, Janet, it's a pleasure to have the chance to chat with you today. Really excited to learn a little bit more about yourself, your farm, and some of the things you've been doing and maybe even thinking about when it comes to environmental stewardship. So, thanks for taking the time today.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your farm? Where are you located? Tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, we have a dairy farm just north of Fergus. It's about 300 acres. We rent some land. We farm with my husband, my son, and his wife. We milk about 120 purebred Holstein animals. It is a multi-generational farm. It was started by a grandfather of my husband. So we're to the fourth generation, if you want to call it that now. We've been in a partnership with my husband's brother, and now there's the four of us. So we've seen a lot of transition, but the business continues to grow.
Well, that's great to hear. And yeah, I always love hearing a little bit about the farm families and how that kind of comes to pass today. And maybe we'll have an opportunity to think back a little bit through some of that your farm's history as we talk about an important topic, something that every farmer has been, you know, thinking about for a long, long time, having to manage and steward the land and the environment we all share. What does environmental stewardship mean to you more broadly? When I mention those words, what comes to mind?
Well, I think environmental stewardship, we always talk about producers being stewards of their land and wanting their land to be healthy and productive. And environmental stewardship to me means being responsible overall and showing leadership around environmental practices that are good for the environment, but also to, from a business perspective, to have practices on your farm that each year improves on the soil health and the animal health. By doing that, you are indirectly benefiting the environment, but you are directly benefiting the welfare of your animals, the health of your soil, and then the productivity.
Can you tell us a little bit, Janet, about what positive environmental practices you've adopted on your farm? Any that stand out that are worth commenting on?
Yeah, I think like our environmental journey started quite some time ago when nutrient management actually was brought into practice. And I, as many farms, I had an off-farm job that as a nurse, and so I'm very science-based and procedural-based and understand that the side of things. And I think a lot of producers are very science-based. You have to be in this business, whether it's livestock health or agronomy, that type of thing. And we were having fertilizer that we were putting on fields, and our wheat the one year went totally flat. And I'm thinking, I think we're putting too much nitrogen on this. And nutrient management was fairly new then. So I got myself certified as a producer, producer certification to be able to do my own nutrient management strategy and plan. So the first year that I did the plan and taking all of the nutrients into consideration that we have on our farm from our little, as I call them, fertilizer factories, our little, our animals on our farms, took that into consideration. And we were able to, the following year, reduce our fertilizer application in half. So that's sort of where our environmental journey started. And from then, we've done more and more looking at our soil by doing sampling, looking at organic matter, looking at the nutrients, and implementing practices to be able to improve the soil health and therefore improve our productivity. So those are the main strategies that are the most important on our farm.
Yeah, I think that's interesting too, because it doesn't just speak to implementing BMP, a best practice, for example. It speaks a little bit to sort of harnessing and honing your mind around how do you tackle challenges as, you know, our environment and everything around it will continue to evolve. So being able to ensure that you can adapt and adopt as needed moving forward, which I think is really strong in terms of an approach to manage the land. One core requirement of ProAction, and it, again, outside of ProAction, it's been a longstanding sort of opportunity for farmers across Canada, has been the Environmental Farm Plan. Can you talk to me a little bit about your experiences doing an EFP? You know, did you learn anything in particular, or how has it sort of shaped your thinking around how you manage risks or maybe opportunities with respect to your land specifically?
Yeah, we're on our fourth iteration of the Environmental Farm Plan. So we've been doing it for several decades now. We use it as a tool, of course, to identify risks. Risk to water is the foundation of the plan. But I think when you do the plan, the first iteration we did was that the most important thing that came out of it was putting all the stuff that you do on paper, creating maps of your farm, creating pictures of where the tile drains are, where the outlets are, where, of course, the wells are, where all the risk areas are, and having everybody around the table that's part of your business and sitting down and saying, this is what we do, this is what it looks like, because as producers, we do a really good job, I feel, around the environment, but a lot of it is in the brains of one person or two people. And sometimes that might be multi-generational, where it's important to get some of that down on paper. So the Environmental Farm Plan, each time we've done it, has gotten easier because we've got some of the foundational information. But it's a time to sit down and really look at risks, because when you're on your farm every day, you can maybe walk past something that you don't always recognize that, oh, you know, that's a risk. It would be pretty easy to do something about that to potentially prevent a problem down the road. And so taking that time to sit down and kind of go through all the risks, we found has been really beneficial. And we've had different family members do the Environmental Farm Plan. So you have a different lens each time, and they kind of come out with a different perspective. And then when you're walking around the farm, it gives you a different eye when you're walking, as I said, walking past something to identify what you should be doing and what the risks might be.
Any particular areas that you've been focused on or risks in you've been specifically focused on over the last little while, maybe since you last did the EFP?
Well, we were doing a lot of our own spraying, and when we kind of changed our business model, when we moved away from the partnership we were in, we just identified did a business plan, but also an environmental risk plan, and said, do we really want to be spraying our own chemicals in the storage and everything? And we decided no. So we used to spray our own, and we just decided that wasn't something we wanted to continue doing. So we let a custom applicator do that. So that was one. We went to double wall tanks for our petroleum storage. That was another. We really looked at the location of our wells and where we're washing equipment, so that we're potentially not creating a surface water risk, and manure storage, and, you know, silo seepage. We were replacing the apron in front of our pit silo. And so while we were building it, we put a couple grates in the floor that lead to the manure storage, because one that far away, it was not that difficult to do at the time. But if we hadn't done it, and now it's a requirement of managing that, and at the time it wasn't that difficult, but it was something that was in the forefront of your mind. You're thinking, oh, you know what, this is an opportunity to mitigate a risk, so we should just do it now, and then it just looks after itself.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I mean, it's clear from your comments too, that at least when timed right, if nothing else, it can be done, you know, rather easily and prevent some rather significant impacts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
An area that we have focused on quite a lot is soil health. It's not just critical for yield or productivity, but environmental health more broadly. How do you manage soil health on your farm? Any particular areas that you are focused on, or I guess over four generations of the EFP, if nothing else, you've probably had to think about a little bit?
My father and my father-in-law both farmed in previously in farms that had fairly heavy clay-based soils. So that practice required a lot of plowing, a lot of soil turning, that type of thing. And we're fortunate on our farm, we have very loamy soil, so it's very forgiving and well-drained. And so it gives us the ability to do less tillage. And when you, in years past, when you'd see on a windy day, you'd see soil kind of floating across the field. And some of the great seminars that have gone on through some of the soil strategies and through soil and crop, that you can actually see the benefit and the to the soil if you till less. We've moved away. We sold our plow, we sold our disc, we sold our cultivator, and we just use a vertical till unit. So we do minimal till, only because we do have solid manure, so we do have to till a little bit. Some would say we don't have to, but for soil contact and leveling the field, we do very minimal tillage. And over the period of, we did soil samples 3 and 4 years apart. Again, we really have taken the premise of, if we don't measure it, we can't manage it. I think that's an important statement, because we have some practices with manure application and soil tillage and crop rotation that we've always done it that way and it worked. But we really do measure, and we've always done soil sampling. So when we moved to the environmental module, that wasn't something new for us. And we did see, with a change in tillage practices, we did see our organic matter go up almost 1%, which is huge. And we could see, you could see when I was doing the soil sampling from year one to year three and year four, even getting the probe in the soil was easier. So soil health and watching and seeing those earthworms and seeing the color of the soil, and all of that ties to the business side of things, which is having maximum production on that field.
So it's safe to say you've seen the benefits of improving soil health or continued focus on it over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a lot of talk about fairly small crop rotations in the cash crop scenario. And I don't want to beat on cash crop operators, but going from beans to corn, beans to corn, and that type of rotation. The one thing we have in the livestock industry, and dairy in particular, is we always have like a legume that we rotate in often. We have wheat rotated into the crop rotation, and all of those in a proper crop rotation, and then the use of livestock manure. I think the value of livestock manure is becoming better and better understood. And I think the economics of the price of fertilizer has been part of that, but also, you know, you're getting water, you're getting nutrients, you're getting organic matter. You're getting those microbes that you're adding to the soil. So that biosphere that was in the soil, the soil is benefiting from the reapplication of livestock manure. So we really keep a close eye on that, and the type of manure that we spread at certain times of the year on certain fields, like we will, to maximize the nutrient content for the crop that we're putting on that field. We look at that all the time and balance that as our management practices.
One other area that you've sort of touched on, and I just wonder if there, you've got any other thoughts or comments on, is around not just water quality and ensuring that the things that we are storing, housing, spraying, using in any way in commercial farms today aren't impacting, negatively impacting water quality. The other side of the coin is sort of wastewater management or water conservation. Any thoughts there in terms of particular practices that you implement?
Yeah, well, we have a flush barn, which is a bit unique, that we use recycled water to flow down the aisleways in the barn that flushes the manure away. So our water and all of the water that we use in our farm is collected into the liquid manure storage and cycles through that system and then ends up back on the field. So we are very aware of the value of water, and we reuse and recycle water over and over again. We don't view it obviously as a waste to get rid of, like our manure. So we will look at like after first cut, second cut, haylage, sometimes in the years where it's a bit drier in particular, we will use from our settling lagoons, we'll use a liquid manure that has a little more of a water content and put it on at a little bit of a higher rate, obviously knowing what the nutrients are in that liquid as well, so that we're not putting on too many nutrients that may leach or get lost. But to be able to not only provide those nutrients, but also provide water and to that plant for regrowth. So always looking at the nutrients in the water, conservation on the farm is really important.
Right, and allows you to sort of customize or tailor your management accordingly, which sounds like a really strong approach.
Yeah, absolutely, because like our solid manure we'll put on in the fall. That allows some time for the breakdown and the growth of the microbes so that we have nitrogen available for the plant. We'll put our composted manure on in the spring because those nutrients are more bioavailable. As I said, we'll put the watery type manure on the hay fields to provide water and nutrients. So you tailor the manure that you have to the needs of the field that you're putting it on to maximize the nutrients for the crop, but also know that those nutrients are going to stay in the field and not leave the field.
Right. Now, one other area that is actually captured in the certain aspects of the environment module of ProAction, more as questions around best practices or what Canadian dairy farmers are doing today, and something that I think collectively we are talking more about in terms of not just farming, but sort of climate change in general, is biodiversity. We're starting to learn more and more about the impacts of to biodiversity based on the built environment. You know, there's no shortage of impacts that we see from cities and various other, you know, sort of technological advancements as we evolve as a society. But not surprisingly, we'll continue to look at rural environments and certainly farming and try to understand the impacts on biodiversity there. Do you have any practices on your farms that you've used to manage, protect, or even conserve biodiversity in the context of sort of the lands that you manage?
Yeah, we do have a fairly large creek that goes through the one farm that's 200 acres. And so we've always, because of nutrient management, always had our grass and treed waterway setbacks. And we did have a large pasture area and animals that at one point were able to go right up to the edge of the creek. And so we've recognized that as a risk, and we've actually planted several hundred trees in that area to provide a natural canopy for that soil, but also to, and fenced off that area. And we have a large bush on our farm that we see as we're doing field work. We see deer and fox and wild turkeys and all kinds of wild stock that come out of that field, out of that bush. And so we preserve that space. We see that that natural tree canopy on the edge of some of our fields naturally creates a wind barrier. We're right along Highway 6. We planted a living fence to be able to help for snow conditions in the winter. And again, visibility on the highway has been the benefit, but keeping our soil in the field was one of the bigger benefits for us.
Yeah, and it sounds like in some cases, some mutual benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's great. Are wetlands something that you need to manage, or, you know, are you close in proximity to wetlands that also sort of adds in another layer that you need to consider in terms of risks to your from your farm?
Yeah, I think really just the creek, it does flood at times in the spring. And so, again, recognizing to have proper setbacks from that and have lots of trees and long grasses that keep the soil fixated where it needs to stay is pretty important. And I know that there is a lot of discussion about having set aside lands for wildlife as well as wetlands. And it's a difficult discussion to have because land is so valuable. And they're not making any more of it. It seems that we're losing land with some of the urban expansions that are currently happening right now. And at the provincial level, some of the risks on farmland. So I think more and more people are actually farming some of those more marginal lands, some of the maybe class 4 or 5 lands. And from a pasturing perspective and some specialty crop perspective, it makes a lot of sense. But you have to, again, recognize the proper setbacks from the wetlands. You have to have the grassed areas and have it fenced. And I think creating more wetlands is not the answer, but I think managing the existing wetlands that we have, recognizing why they're wetlands, you know, they're low, they're boggy, that kind of thing, and preserving them in a way that benefits everybody.
If you had an opportunity here to speak to Canadian dairy farmers and maybe offer a piece of advice, a recommendation, or just, you know, words of encouragement, what would you speak to them about in the context of environment, maybe where we sit today in the Canadian dairy industry with some requirements around environment, for sure, sort of a national and provincial focus on environment in the context of commercial farming today? What would sort of your comments be to other farmers?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we recognize as producers that as from an environmental perspective, we informally do a lot of things on our farm already that benefit the environment, because benefiting the environment benefits our soil health, benefits our animals, benefits our profit margin at the end of the year, right? And so we are businesses. So I think recognizing a lot of the small steps that you already do towards the environment, it doesn't mean you have to turn around and spend $1 million on a biodigester. It means if you're going to plant 5 trees, that's actually in an area that soil may be moving, and there's a double benefit. You're creating more carbon sequestration and an environmental benefit with the tree, and you're keeping that soil where it needs to be for your farm. I think it's the environment is a huge and onerous kind of topic. So thinking, bringing it down to looking at your farm and looking at the things that you already do that are beneficial to the environment. And when you go through that questionnaire, look at all of the questions and kind of say, you know, that's one thing I'm not doing on our farm. And I do see the benefit to our business by doing that particular item on the questionnaire. And, you know, if the opportunity arises that we're making a management change that item will fall into, then we should consider it. So I think that would be my biggest message to producers, because the general public are watching what we're doing, and we want to sell more products. So being environmentally responsible is just part of what we need to do.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Janet. And it's for sure a huge piece of what we now broadly define as sustainability. It's not the only thing, but it is continuing to be part of that conversation, right? And at the beginning, you talked about your environmental journey. And I think that's something to just perhaps showcase, something that I'm reflecting on as I talk with many farmers around the country about this and other topics, animal care, food safety. I mean, these have all been journeys that, you know, for one period or another. And as you say, this journey didn't start in 2021 with environment. It's been a it's always been part of the history of farming. And that other point you made there around small changes is still improvement. It doesn't need to be that massive, you know, change in order to be seen as successful. Incremental change, small changes add up over time. And so just staying committed to some of those smaller things can have a larger sort of downstream impact, to use a bit of a cliche there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not going to end in 2023 either. It's an ongoing journey. That's what our businesses are, is just adapting to change continuously, whether it's in, you know, climate, you know, finances, workforce, environment, you know, that's what we do every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a great way to leave it there. So Janet, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. Really appreciate your insight, your hard work, and your commitment to the environment. It's really inspiring to hear about all the things that you've done, and wish you all the best as we move forward.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's ProAction podcast series. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, please visit www.dairyfarmers.ca/ProAction. And don't forget to like and subscribe for more content. You'll find us online at dairyfarmers.ca or anywhere you find podcasts. This podcast was narrated by me, Stephen Roach, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. This project is hosted by the Dairy Farmers of Canada and is funded by the Canadian Agricultural Partnership, a federal, provincial, territorial initiative.